Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
One of Iowa's senators was in Pella last week for a Google event to help get more small businesses online. What did he think about the event? And what about the current crop of potential Republican presidential candidates? Let's go in depth with Senator Chuck Grassley, New Hartford. Senator, why are you in Pella today?
I'm in Pella for a meeting that's been going on all day, but I was only here for about an hour of it, to speak to Google-sponsored, but also co-sponsored by Iowa groups as well, to help small businesses that aren't online to set up a web page, be online to enhance their business, and to tell people the opportunities that that brings, particularly to small business, and the fact that only about 40% of the small businesses in Iowa are online, the extent to which more people get online, not only will it help their own business, but it's going to enhance the economic opportunities of particularly small towns, but all of Iowa. And I also took advantage, well, I didn't come down here for the purpose of having a town meeting with this group, but the Google people sponsoring it asked me if I would answer questions. So maybe for about a half hour, I did spend time answering questions, and I let the audience set the agenda.
Well, I was down there for a few minutes, and it was pretty interesting. There were laptops everywhere, all kinds of people. The big room at the Royal Amsterdam was full, and I commented to you that there were people there not from people that I didn't recognize, and you had talked with people from all over Iowa.
Yes,
this event.
Yes, and I knew that from people telling me where they were from before they ask a question of me, and I suppose most of the people are close in to Pella, but this isn't the only opportunity people are going to have. This is the fifth one that Google's had in Iowa. This is the eighth state that they've initiated this effort, and they're going to initiate it in other states, but they're going to have a lot more of these in Iowa as well.
I hear oftentimes the importance of getting good rural broadband access. Now, in Pella and Knoxville, our major communities, we have a lot of internet access. Is it a problem in other parts of the state?
No. Yeah. You know, the reason it's a problem because it's rural and because a lot of people want to rely upon wire or fiber optics to get the job done as opposed to wireless. You also probably have a U.S. Department of Agriculture program that will give grants and low-interest loans that probably is not discriminating enough where they give the loans from this standpoint. I know some of these loans have gone to communities where they maybe already have two or three people facilitating broadband. So then the government goes in with a subsidized one, and maybe it's unfair competition, instead of going to some community, someplace in the United States that doesn't have very good service. See, so you have that. What we do have in Iowa is where it's really good is probably because we've got some very progressive small telephone companies in Iowa. Iowa has more small telephone companies than any other state in the nation. I think in the neighborhood of probably 130 to 140. At one time, there was 170 of them. And those that want to be competitive, keep their customers, help with local economic development, some of them have some of the very best service you can have. Well, it's kind of filling in those voids, and that's where the federal program comes in. And I think it's badly needed.
But you mentioned that it's coming into places where it probably shouldn't be. Why would they do that?
Well, I think, you know, I wish I knew, because when I found out about it, like down in Houston, Texas, or I shouldn't say the big city of Houston, Texas, but in that area, is one example that I have in mind of where they went in. And I think it, you know, I can't give you any rationale for it, because except that the Department of Agriculture has the authority to do that, and they decided the community needed an additional service. But at the same time, forgetting the mass of places where they don't have very good service. So I would be in favor of curbing the discretion of the Department of Agriculture to serve first with a limited amount of money where they don't have good service or any service.
To the best of your knowledge, do you know any places in Iowa that might need that kind of a hand?
Yeah, I think Southwest Iowa would be an area.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. What else are you working on in Washington
okay.
now?
Okay. There would be, through the Agriculture Committee, on the one hand, and on the other hand, the Finance Committee, because those are two of the four committees I'm a member of, we're trying to put together some broad policy. We aren't actually going to write a farm bill till next year. But because of the Super Debt Reduction Commission that was appointed in August, and they have great authority to reduce expenditures tremendously between now and decisions having to be made December 23rd, we want to, and I'm promoting, putting together where we think money can be saved in agricultural programs. Because we got the expertise, and then give that information to this Super Debt Reduction Commission. In the case of the Finance Committee, it'd be the programs in the Finance Committee, like Medicare, Medicaid, and anything dealing with taxes or trade. We would have that in our jurisdiction. So what we're trying to do, even though the Debt Reduction Commission doesn't have to listen to those of us on the individual committees of the Senate, I think they would be wise to do it because, number one, we have the institutional expertise through staff and members to know where it is done so people aren't going to be hurt. And secondly, if they do what we want, they're more apt to get our support with the final product.
And where do you think some money can be saved?
Oh, I think there's going to be a lot of money saved on direct payments, probably countercyclical payments, sure payments. That money will be saved, but I think some of the money also will be used to make the acre program and the crop insurance program a little better program. But there's still going to be tremendous savings in agriculture. Now, farmers may not like to hear it, but as a result of my 99 town meetings this year and with this budget crunch being on everybody's mind, farmers have told me they know that they're going to have to do things with direct payments and other programs that there's no justification for having in these fiscal times.
We need a stable food supply. And if we start tinkering with it, and we have a pretty stable food supply where our farmers are working and they've got a good system in place where they've got the stable kind of revenue that they need, are we going to be messing with our stable food supply possibly? I mean, because in these economic times where farmers are doing well, it's not very far down the road where they're not.
That's true. And listen, the very same point you've made, I make on the Senate floor often. People from the cities are probably tired of my making them. And to the people in the cities, it'd be a speech of defense of the status quo. Today, there's between the status quo and what you desire, there's room to operate so that we will be able to continue to have a safety net. So my position on this is pretty much based upon what I've gotten from the farmers around Iowa in my town meetings, that a crop insurance program is the very best safety net you can have.
And so that's what you're going to work to make strong.
Yeah, but also we're trying to put together an improvement in the acre program and expand it to other programs. That's kind of like a revenue assurance program. Mm-hmm. The acronym ACRE, I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's basically a program that was developed by the Iowa corn growers 5 years ago. It's part of the Farm Bill now, but it needs some changes made in it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Now, one of the important things that we need to keep in place, so every farmer I know would argue, would be the conservation programs that have done really well for our fields, our water, and people are talking about making any kind of payments or any kind of assurances tied to conservation programs. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think that, first of all, I'll answer your question as if it's two separate questions. One, will conservation programs generally be maintained? The answer to that is yes, probably with a cutback in the CRP program. It's 32 million acres now. That might be cut back to 30 million acres. 5 years ago, it was 36 million. It's been cut back a little bit under the 2008 Farm Bill. It may be cut back a little bit. But the other program that you're talking about would be soil conservancy and the anti-swamp buster program. Those will probably be tied to having crop insurance. If you want to have crop insurance, you may have to agree to abide by those laws. Now, for myself, if we end up there, it's not going to bother me. But I have to be candid with you. I have not made up my mind yet, because I think there's a difference between having money directly going from the federal treasury into a farmer's pocket and tying certain restrictions to it, as opposed to you're participating in a program and paying for most of it, even though it's subsidized. You're still paying for most of it, putting that sort of requirement on.
Okay, so you're cautious about that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. But it seems that it only seems logical in some way that if you're getting some support from the government, conservation practices are in everybody's best interest, and you can buy into that support or not.
I think I buy into the fact that it's already part of the culture of American farmers. And it's been 25 years since we passed the soil conservancy and anti-swamp busting laws. And at that particular time, we were losing on average in Iowa about 9 to 10 tons per acre per year. And we got it down now below 5 tons per acre per year. Now, that still may sound like a lot, but it's renewable at that point, see? So I think that there's a culture within farming now that's different than it was as I was growing up and as a beginning farmer, when you could rip everything up and plow everything up and not worry about how far down the Mississippi River it got. I believe farmers see that their prosperity is tied to good soil conservancy.
Senator, do you favor any particular candidate in the presidential race?
No, and maybe I'll end up not backing anybody, but I'm not going to make a determination either on an individual or on staying out of it until we get by the period of time when people have to file in the first of the 50 states to run for president, and that's going to be in a couple weeks in Florida. And so I think I ought to wait until everybody's into it before I make and give everybody an opportunity. At least I can view the whole field. And right now I don't feel I can with today's announcement, or maybe rumor that maybe Huckabee will get in. There's still rumors about Sarah Palin getting in. There's a big push right now for Christie to get in. And I'd like to see the whole field before I finally make up my mind.
What's the role of the media in this? I had a conversation with Congresswoman Bachman the other day where I mentioned to her that it seemed like she was on the top of the world, where she won the Ames straw poll, but the next day with Rick Perry entering the race, all of a sudden it was a two-man race. And it seemed that the media determined that, and I wondered with her if there was any sexism going on there.
Yeah.
I was thinking it. She wasn't going to say it, but I was thinking it.
Well, I think the liberal political structure of our country, and probably that most of that's on the East Coast and probably most of it in Washington, D.C., and how they have close relationships with the liberal press, I would say that there's two categories of people that are conservative that the media and the liberal power brokers in this country never want to succeed. And one of them, one class, would be a conservative female, and the second one is an African-American conservative. So you can use Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann as a couple examples of one group. You can use Herman Cain as an example of another group. They don't want them to succeed because they're able to make the Republican Party look like it's not a humane party because we aren't somehow concerned enough about women's issues or we aren't concerned enough about minority issues. And if they allow a conservative female or a conservative African-American to succeed, it's going to take away all of the demagoguery that they can do against the Republican Party.
We've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with your constituency here?
Well, I would share with it this way, particularly for the people in Knoxville, that that I know there's negotiations going on now about the VA facility. I don't know exactly how they're coming along, but there's negotiations going on, and I want to observe that and listen to what people are thinking about that and things of that. That'd be local issues. On the national issue, I would say that you often have heard me, even in your interviews with me, where I said that the 50-year average of the national debt compared to the gross national product was pretty constant at 35% to 40% over a 50-year period of time. In the last 30 months, that's gone up to 72% this year. It's on the path to go to more than 90%. We can't do that. That's where Greece has already been. We can't go that way. So we got to do everything we can, not only between now and December the 23rd when the Super Debt Reduction Commission reports, and if they're successful in saving the minimum of $1.2 trillion, that's still not enough. We're going to have to go through this process during 2012 as well if we're going to be fiscally responsible.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.